You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Each week, we are joined by RNIB's Chief Executive, Matt Stringer, to discuss some more stories coming from the UK Sight Loss Charity. Matt, thank you very much for joining us.
Hello, Alan. My pleasure as ever. Good to speak to you.
Now, lots happening in November. I know we're going to throw forward to those very shortly, but a big campaign, which we've spoke about for a little while now. I know you've been trailing this at even previous party political conferences as well, but RNIB has its Out of Sight campaign running, and this is around vision rehabilitation.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's something we've been committed to. It's an important part of our strategy, you know, is really making sure that we can support people post a sort of eye health diagnosis to help in that rehabilitation, you know, help to provide the skills and the tools and the support that people need to live a full life after an eye health diagnosis. And, you know, part of our campaigning has been, you know, doggedly looking at the landscape across the UK in terms of local authority provision. And we've just launched an Out of Sight sort of campaign and a petition, which I'd encourage the listeners to go online and sign for West Streeting. I'm just looking at it now. We're up to about 30,000 signatures. We're trying to get to 50, which will be really quite a good number to have achieved. And fundamentally, you know, what we have found and what we know and what we're saying is that the majority of local authorities don't actually fulfil their sort of statutory duty in terms of providing the appropriate services and or providing them within the right amount of time. So we know that, you know, 80% of local authorities in England, you know, fail to meet the recommended timeframe for assessments, and a fifth, you know, so one in five of local authorities are leaving people hanging for a year for support, which, you know, if you're thinking that you're waiting a year for someone to come and help you assess and help you get what you need after eye health diagnosis, you know, and it might be something for work or something to help you, you know, live at home, or something to help you access technology, or something to help you travel, you know, and use public transport potentially, is just simply appalling. And yet this is what is going on up and down the country. So, you know, we've been doggedly on this for a number of years, doing freedom of information requests and seeing what local authorities' record is. And the answer is it's not very good and hasn't got better. There's a whole lot of statistics in the report they're now finding about, you know, people not employing the appropriate, you know, officers to do this work. So, you know, the landscape is poor and isn't improving. And so we've got this sort of Out of Sight petition, which you can find online, you know, calling on sort of West Streeting to take some action. And this is only one sort of element of our work to try and get this, you know, getting this noticed and getting some traction. You know, we're also talking to the CQC about whether they can put rehab into their sort of formal assessment sort of framework, because at the moment this isn't actually regulated. So the fact, you know, poor performance is so poor across the UK, particularly in England, there isn't any sanction or traction on this at the moment. So we can get people like the CQC to sit up and take notice. So we're discussing that with them at the moment in a positive way. So a number of strands of this work going on to try and make this landscape a whole lot better. At the moment, what we're asking people to do is sign the petition that we got going to West Streeting, which, if we get to 50,000 people, will give us a real weight to sort of push this into Wes and the Department of Health and Social Security, Social Care.
Vastly and hugely, I think, a vital vision rehabilitation, Matt. You know, when you consider, you mentioned things like, you know, be able to live independently, or, you know, be able to travel, and that could be for work, you know, people retaining employment as well. It is so important, and tends to have been over the past few years as well, or many years, that a lot of charities, particularly local charities and so on, have had to pick up the slack on this. So you can see how vital this is if charities are stretched, but councils should really be stepping in.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, charities pick up the pieces for local authorities not discharging their sort of statutory responsibilities. And then that becomes, you know, the orthodoxy, it becomes the norm. And you know, the need for local authorities to focus on this sort of withers away even more. So, you know, all those local charities and work we do is brilliant and undeniably is helping individual visually impaired people to a point live that fuller life, which they wouldn't do if this service didn't exist. But we can't get away from the big national picture, which is there should be better national provision for this from local authorities, and it shouldn't be seen as a marginal thing or an afterthought or something that get sort of cut from a budget. And we're all aware of budgetary pressures, you know, but again, there's, you know, business case for this. Is you're getting people back, you know, sort of living a full life, they're being economically productive, they're in work, They're feeling physically and mentally better. You're keeping them out of maybe the NHS. There's a whole ton of benefits why this is necessary. We've done various bits of modeling on this in different regions, and for every pound you put into this, you get many pounds back. The last work we did was, I think it suggested about a £9 return in a part of England. Then we were looking at Surrey when we did some work on this over the last few years. So, there's a massive economic and physical and mental health benefit for people for this to be done. But, in a two-dimensional way, looking at a local authority budget, it can seem to be an easy thing to cut. So, this petition should be really helpful. As I say, working on some other strands, like trying to get this regulated in a slightly sharper way, will also be helpful.
Indeed, we'll give you the web address a little bit later. Let's look to November. We're approaching the end of October, but November is looking pretty busy once again for RNIB.
Yeah, it's an interesting time of year, the autumn, isn't it? We've had a very burst of activity through September with all the party conferences, culminating with the Tories early in October. That was a couple of weeks ago. Parliament is back. Clearly, a lot of parliamentary activity at the moment with a variety of important sort of bills going through, and things like Prime Minister's Question Time and things getting up and running. It's also half term, which is a bit of an interlude at the moment. But November, as you said, is a very full month of activity before we get into Christmas. And I think we've touched on some things before, but just to remind listeners, because we'll be coming back and talking about these things in the next month. But yeah, we've got some really important events that we've been leading and driving and convening through November. So we've got a sort of eye care summit in Wales on the 6th of November. We've also then got a big, nationwide sort of eye care pathway sort of review and reaffirmation with a variety of charity partners, Royal Colleges, NHS, optometrists, ophthalmologists, up in Manchester for a day on the 12th of November. We've also got a big employment event that we're running, really trying to hit the zeitgeist at the moment of this whole question, national question about welfare and employment, with a Charlie Mayfield review on getting Britain working coming out, we think, as early as next week, with the promise of Charlie and Sir Stephen Timms attending, along with a room full of employers and other charities. And that's really quite an important event on the 18th. We've got a parliamentary reception on the 17th. November is a really, I think, busy month for the RNIB, but actually, I think, busy politically, with a lot of these fairly major discussions, NHS, employment, welfare, playing out in the run-in to the budget, which we know to be the 26th of November. So feels a slightly quiet week this week with half term, but November really starts with a bang and keeps going all the way through. So a lot to do for us. A lot we've made happen in November. And a lot of sort of national context to respond to, I think, especially the budget at the end of the month.
As you say, we'll have plenty to talk about, Matt. And Christmas is on the horizon as well, of course.
Well, indeed. And here we are in October. We're still talking about Christmas, but I think Christmas shops are out in August. So don't apologise for talking about Christmas in October. I think half term, at schools, people come back and then suddenly everyone's looking forward to things like Christmas fairs and nativity plays and carol concerts and all this sort of stuff. But yeah, I mean, we do a lot of our Christmas appeal, and we do a lot, trading our Christmas ranges. And we've touched on this before, but we've really sharpened up our retail, offering at the moment, both in terms of the range around Christmas and also the quality of our display and how we fulfil. And I would just encourage listeners to go and have a look at the RNIB range if you're looking for Christmas cards or wrapping paper or other presents. We've got a really good range this year, and actually the good news is it's selling well, actually. I think the team told me last week that we'd already sold something like 60% of last year's Christmas cards by last week, which is quite early. So we're on run for a healthy performance, and all this is about bringing money into the RNIB to spend on our beneficiaries. So this is a critical part of our sort of fundraising and income generation. So yeah, I mean, it's I get excited about Christmas, always happy to talk about it. But I think from an RNIB perspective, our campaign and our retail trading is really pivotal to our income at this time of year. So maybe encourage the listeners to go and have a look at our retail website and see whether there's anything that takes their fancy, Alan.
Yeah, please do. And if you want to check out the website, you'll get details there on the shop and indeed the out of sight campaign that Matt was talking about. Please do sign that petition. Go to rnib.org.uk. You can also contact our team on the helpline on 0303 123 9999. And if you've got a smart speaker, just ask it to call RNIB's helpline. Well, that's it for this week, Matt. We'll catch up with you again soon. But thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, Alan, my pleasure. And be good as we get to November to be back on talking about a lot of these really quite important things coming up. So good to speak to you this week.
For more interviews, features, and shows, go to your favorite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.